Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, it is me. I am back again with... we're going to call this a special treat for y'all because there's probably going to be like two episodes this week because I've gathered tons and tons of news and there's new trailers and all this kind of stuff. But I think I'm going to do that as a separate episode because there is so much of that. And rather than making a 3-hour episode, I wanted to have an episode that was going to be focused on one particular thing with a little bit of fun, our usual stuff in here. So I'm not flying alone here to Neverland. Of course, there might be some changes to that. But yeah, Lost Boy Philip is here.
Hey, how you doing?
Are we calling the Kryptonian?
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Has a nickname. What I was just saying before, let me go ahead and talk about this. I was in a group discussion, like a Christian podcasters group or whatever, and somebody was trying to figure out a name for their podcast they're working on, and they were wondering about different names, and you know, people had different suggestions. You know, you want to make sure when someone knows the title of the podcast, they know what the show is about. And I thought, well, let me test something. I said, well, my show is currently called Neverland, the Fandom Nexus. What would you think the show is about? And some people says, Michael Jackson? Peter Pan? And it's a problem I had even when it was just the Neverland podcast, when I started this thing 10 years ago. I'm coming up on the 10-year
wow.
Official completing the 10th season here. As we end November, that first episode in December will be the 11th season.
Seems like so, it just started to me.
Yeah, but it's been a long, long journey with this. And... you know, it worked when I was doing a Disney thing. People kind of go, okay, well, Neverland makes me think of Disney, too. Now we're not really doing the Disney, although despite that, we are going to talk some Disney today because we've hit the 50th anniversary of Disney's animated Robin Hood, and we're going to discuss that all.
Yay.
And it'll be great. But I've been considering if I took Neverland out of the title and it just called the Fandom Nexus, would you understand what the show is about maybe a little better? Granted, I mean, the logo thing I made still has Neverland in small text on it, but maybe I just when I title episodes, maybe I won't call it that, or when I go into Red Circle where I have it hosted, I just change the name of it that'll adjust things in Apple and Google and everything. It should go through when I change the RSS feed to where I'll just call this the Fandom Nexus. Which might lose our Lost Boy references, but maybe we'll keep that because technically we're still, I mean, it's still the same show. I'm on my third name.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that people, when they see the title, they get an idea. Oh, this is a fandom thing. Because we are. I mean, we do a lot of retro. That's kind of the goal, but we also, it's a lot of fandom. What are we excited about? And it's a lot about entertainment and what entertains us. So I think I need to update the name. So that's now for me, keep on that coming. I'm probably going to have to get a new domain name on the website, too, to where I have thefandomnexus.com. I'm going to have to probably buy that domain and have it linked together to go to the same website, but, you know, own that domain. That way, if people just type that in, we can go that way. So
now for me personally, if I was just going for fan stuff, I would have fan-tussyland. But that's just me, fan-tussyland.
But if you know, did like a fan and then two and C,
With a dash, you know, or whatever, However you want to, fan to C.
I would use the number two and it was separated enough. Just go fan to C.
Yeah, fan to or fan to C, like, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's fantasy, but because we're fans, there's so many things. Because you're fans.
Well, if
you
called it fantasy, people were going to expect nothing but fantasy. You're going to cover Lord of the Rings, fairy tales, and stuff like that, and not sci-fi or comic books.
So whatever you want to do.
So if you did fantasy, even if you did a weird spelling, it's not going to come across the same way.
That's true.
So I didn't put this much thought into it when I was coming up with the Neverland podcast, because my original idea was this is the podcast where you never grow up.
That's it. Yeah.
I understood that, but it didn't come across to everybody else.
Yeah. So
calling something the Fandom Nexus, this is a nexus is where things come together.
Yeah.
It is fandoms coming together.
Yeah.
And that's actually why I chose the name that it is now. I just need to take it and from being a subtitled thing to just being the name.
I just don't know if everybody knows. This is just me personally. I didn't know what a nexus meant myself.
But most of us are familiar with it. But it's a coming together, a nexus. Yeah. It's like a center point.
Yeah.
A nexus.
Yeah.
Where it all comes. And this is. It's a lot of I'm not just a fan of one certain thing.
Oh, me either.
I'm a fan of a lot of things.
Yeah, me too.
And there's a lot of people that they're niched down and they can just be, I absolutely love Star Wars. I absolutely just love Disney. I absolutely love just this. And there's people like that, and that's fine. And that seems to be most people. I've learned that through the course of this. Yeah. Most people, they have their one thing and they will always be that one thing. Some of us were, you know, jack of all trades, master of none type people.
That's,
I have so many different interests.
I'm a mood guy.
Yeah, whatever I'm in the mood for this day, you know.
I'm kind of like you could say I'm like a smorgasbord.
Yeah. But see, there's no one thing, because everybody, you know, well, I like these TV shows or whatever, but I love this.
Yeah.
But they have that one focal point. That doesn't mean that they don't like other things. It's just they have this one focal point. I don't seem to have a focal point.
It depends on what hits me at that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look, you guys can't see.
Yeah. In your room. I mean, you and I, that's why we're so much alike. We've known each other 7. I mean, if you look around his room, he's got Mr. Bean. He's got Magnum P.I. He's got Dukes of Hazzard toys and figures.
Flintstones.
See, because a lot of people, they buy only one, you know, they collect a certain toy thing. I don't have a complete collection of anything because I collect so much, although I'm kind of focused on collecting Master of the Universe, but I'm running out of room for that. But I collect so many different things. But most people, when they collect something, they focus on maybe one particular toy set.
Yeah.
But I've never been that way.
Yeah, mine is because of emotional reasons, which I'm sure most people are, but I'm a nostalgia.
Well, and the memories we have.
Yeah, that's it. Because when I look at, like, you guys can't see this, but on my wall, little section, I have Princess Bride. Next to it, I have Inspector Gadget, then 1989 Batman, then E.T., then I have Flash Gordon and the Phantom, Rambo, Die Hard, Tombstone. I mean, Big Trouble in China, Back to the Future. I mean, it goes on, Smoking the Bandit. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's because it changes from one to the other, because that's how I am. I'm like a smorgasbord, casserole, if you will.
We are at the salad bar of We List Little Everything. It's a salad bar. We grab a little bit of everything.
A buffet of fun.
And those of you that you love to, I know I've just love to collect Hot Wheels. Nothing wrong with that. You go ahead. Enjoy.
Yeah, great.
But, I'm going to have to turn my phone off or something. Or silence it. Oh, I actually have some Ozempic ready for me. That's amazing. Wow, I better go pick it up. I got a couple other things to pick up, too. But anyways, yes. So that's kind of what the Fandom Nexus is. I enjoy a lot of different things. And whatever you enjoy, we're probably going to talk about it. But if you enjoy a lot of different things, you're going to fit right in here. But I never realized, the real Brian, if you're listening to the real Brian show, he's got a term he calls for, because he didn't realize that other people weren't like that. And so you have a lot of, in podcasting, they tell you niche down, niche down, niche down. I can't, because that means I have to focus on only one thing. And even when I was doing Disney, I kept branching out because, but I want to talk about this too.
Yeah.
So I feel I'm free. Although being Disney made it easier, because I always, for news, I just got to go like, well, what's coming to the parks? What's new in there? Now I have to broaden my horizons out a lot more.
Yeah.
And sometimes I worry I'm not going to think of any topics. Yeah. But this has been a week for topic. I mean, I was sitting there. I saw a thing. Like somebody was redoing the theme to Airwolf. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That's great.
That's an old 80s TV show. I'm like, yeah, I can go watch some episodes of Airwolf, and that's coming up.
That's another thing I have. One moment in this room, I have A-Team, the Dukes of Hazzard, yeah. the Magna P.I. I mean, just moves
make sure
on
you're
on.
Facing your microphone at each time.
A-Team, Magna P.I., you know.
Yeah. Every time you turn your head, you go, I can move my head because I'm holding my microphone. I can cheat. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. You're locked down because I put you on a microphone
stand.
There you go. So, yep, because I noticed like every time you turn your head, you lose volume. Ha ha. That's all right. I can fix that in the post-op. Mm-hmm. Post-op is not the right word, but yeah, I can fix it in post. But oh, something else.
So we're like a fanboy buffet is what we are.
That's right. it's not quite a divergent personality, but I mean, but it's a thing where we just. And that's why it's hard finding a career type, because there's people that they go and they go after a career and they know exactly what they want.
They're good that way.
And they're like focused and they're super talented at me. I've got so many different things I've been interested in that everything I'm like, I can be good at it, but I'm never going to be the best at it.
Yeah. It hits our excitement level,
yes.
so to speak.
Because even with the job I do now, and I do like what I'm doing now, working in television, I'd rather be back in radio, but that's what the podcast helps me for. Helps scratch that itch of having my own show. But I am in my department. I'm not the best at what I do, but I'm good at what I do. And that's the thing, because they're focused, like that was their passion. My passions are so, because you can only you can either focus all your passion on one thing or it gets spread out and you're never going to be as passionate or as good at something as other people who are that focused. So there's that kind of difference.
You're eclectic.
So yeah, it's a bit more eclectic that way. Yeah. But anyways, happy life day.
Happy life day to you.
And I decided we got to mention that because you've shown me this book. You said your sister got you this?
Yes, I haven't read it all the way through.
Yeah, it's bits of it. Well, I kind of scanned it. It's Star Wars, the Wookiee Storybook. But I have to share this because it shows all the different characters that we've seen in that Christmas episode or holiday special.
Holiday special, yeah.
But one of the things that's always bugged me and a lot of other people is you had Lumpy and Itchy.
Yes.
Mala seems to work. Okay.
Mala, yeah, that seems.
But we have their real full names in this book. It's Lumpa-ra-Rump. They just call him Lumpy for short. Yeah. Sort of like, and it has like where Chewie is short for Chewbacca. It's a nickname. And then, of course, Mala is Mala Tobuk. That's the wife. And, of course, we all know Lumpy. It's the son of Chewbacca. And then Atichitcut, or I don't know. That name could almost, if you say it wrong, it's going to sound like it's something entirely different. And I'm not going to explain it to y'all. But that's why they call him Itchy. It's a lot easier. For someone who doesn't speak Wookiee to say Itchy instead of a Titchy Tichuk or whatever the heck. Or but this is a little story where it's Chewbacca's 200th birthday and he's coming home for it. And Itchy goes out looking for a certain type of berries, like wasai berries, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he kind of gets lost out in the jungles of Kashyyyk. And so Chewie comes along and takes a side ship that was in the Millennium Falcon, which I don't know how is more or less supposed to fit in there. But he goes out looking for Lumpy and goes and finds him. And Lumpy's all upset that he didn't find the berries for his dad. But his dad is just happy to see his family on his 200th birthday. And it's a big party and stuff. So I spoiled the book for you, Phil.
No, that's OK. No big deal.
But I was like, I saw that. I was like, life day. Look, we finally know why in the world they come up with those stupid names. And maybe George had these other ones and just, you know, those names on that holiday special are so stupid. Oh. Another thing we would normally do is also, what have you been playing? And this gives me a chance to be able to discuss the Spider-Man 2 game, which I have now platinumed. I have finished it. And I want to address, a lot of people have been saying, well, this is, oh, it's all woke. Why do they keep, they take the stuff that we love and they shove their woke stuff and everything at us and all this other stuff. And I've been seeing nonstop of that. People want to criticize. And yeah, there are some bits in there.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned them last week, like there's you fix up a one boy with his homecoming date, which is another boy. There is, and that's not even a very Spider-Man thing to do. That was very weird, setting up people with a homecoming date, for one. And then there's suddenly a segmentation where we're playing this character, Haley. Nothing wrong with the character, but why am I playing as her? So she can go and I said, you know, basically she's doing graffiti, because if you don't get permission to paint your quote unquote mural on the side of somebody's building, it's graffiti and you've broken the law. And but she's deaf. So they thought, oh, we need to. So you can play as a deaf girl and you can hear what it'd be like to not be able to hear people or something. I don't know what they felt. We needed that. No, I didn't need that. I bought a Spider-Man game. I want to play Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I'll play either Spider-Man. Both of them. Playing as Miles is fun. Playing as Peter is fun. Why am I playing as the deaf girl? I don't know. And then, of course, despite everybody saying, oh, okay, why didn't we have all these Mary Jane levels? Can we not do that this time? They doubled down on Mary Jane levels. And just to make it really ridiculous, they gave her, of course, the taser you get by the end of the first Spider-Man game. Here's the problem with her taser. She can one shot, you know, sneak up on somebody. Now, these are Kraven the Hunter's goons that are like tough for you to fight. They're tough. Mary Jane's not having any problem with it. And she's got her taser. Now, Miles has this electroshock, you know, his venom blasts or venom punches, even where it's electric. How come his doesn't tase and knock him out in one hit?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Mary Jane can do it in one hit of a taser.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah. And there's so many levels that are somewhere between Metal Gear Solid to there's something that happens and I don't want to spoil it. It becomes more like a Resident Evil game. And she even, how Mary Jane's supposed to know how to do this? At one point in the game, she was trying to go help Peter because he's gone full symbiote. She finds an extra web shooter, figures out how to attach it to the taser to make it work like a gun. How in the world does she know to do that? Wow. How? What?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, if you're wanting to have a female character, this is just my opinion, but if you're going to have a female character, why not be Black Cat? Or,
well, she's involved in the story with her. Apparently, somewhere in the comics within the last 10 years or something, they've turned Black Cat bisexual. So
really?
They made that a factor in the game as well.
Okay. I don't know why that's even a big thing to do. But
yeah.
I mean is, if I put that in the story,
that's Insomniac, what they're doing. Now, overall, I do want to say I did enjoy the game. I had fun playing it.
Yeah.
There were some levels I was like, oh, I got to get through this because I wanted to do everything because I wanted the platinum.
Well, and you paid the money.
I paid the money. I'm getting my money's worth. And it was fun to play. It's a good game as far as games go. There's just stuff that didn't need to be there. I didn't need an agenda pointed at me. And there is a lot of speculation because at the end, all right, spoilers incoming. I'm not going to tell you too much, but Peter, for reasons that you'll see in the game, wants to take a break. And Miles says, don't worry, I've got this. Because Miles, we see him grow up and become a better Spider-Man throughout that. You know, he's got a good growth
More
arc.
More a man than a teen,
yeah.
What you're saying.
So,
yeah.
But it was fun with them together because there's times you do a little side thing, like
cool.
A street crime, and you go in and whichever one you're playing as, the other one will be there. Or sometimes there's other characters that are like side characters that will pop up that are helping you out that are like side characters like Yuri Watanabe. You'd see she was a police captain and then some DLC in the first game.
Sure.
She's got a whole separate story, but she shows up as a character known as the Wraith, which I haven't paid attention to a Spider-Man comic in a while because it would kind
I've
of
heard that name though.
I don't. Well, yeah, a Wraith is a common thing, but I don't know if that's the character that she had actually in the comics. I don't know. I didn't look that up, but she'll show up and help you out. So it's kind of fun, but they do a good full symbiote story. It is an alien like it should be. And it is what's fun. And I gotta give them props to this. And I haven't quite gotten to what I was talking about with Andy, but let me throw this in real fast. With all the different outfits, you get the choice of wearing the classic comic book style symbiote suit, but you can do alternates within that suit and different colorations. And they have, and I was telling you about this from the 90s animated series where like Venom, and I think even Peter, when he's wearing the symbiote suit, has this, but like where half of his outline is blue and the other half is pink. Oh, when I could wear that as my symbiote suit, I was like, yes, thank you.
I remember I can even hear the music, you know. Yeah,
it was so great wearing that symbiote suit that looked like the 90s animated. I loved it, loved
That's
it, loved
awesome.
It, loved it. There's even a portion you get to play as Venom. That was fun, too.
Oh, that is.
Which got me hungry for somebody make a Hulk game because Venom, you get to rampage through the Oscorp building. A Hulk game that plays like that would be so much fun.
I remember saying to you yesterday on the phone, I think it was, I wish that they would make two things. They recently made the action figures of the 1990s, Spider-Man.
You've been collecting those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they made the 1980s one, too, up there. I wish, because
you got your Amazing Friends set.
Yes, Amazing set.
Yeah,
I wish they'd make, at the same time when they were making the Amazing Spider-Man, Hanna-Barbera was doing the Hulk. And that's how I got to be. Now I was already a fan.
Well, same people doing the Spider-Man. That was actually the Marvel.
Marvel, but it was
Marvel Productions.
It was involved with some of the same Hanna-Barbera style people. And
it might have been some of the people, but it wasn't released through Hanna-Barbera. They didn't have anything to do with.
Okay.
Well, it was different animators.
It looked like it. But either way, what they should do.
Hanna-Barbera was busy doing Super Friends.
What they should do though is definitely make us a set of that Hulk show. Because I love that style, the way he had that kind of black.
Yeah, had the black outline on his eyes.
On the eyes, along with the eyebrows kind of attached to it. I love that look.
And that cartoon is what let me know that the Hulk was supposed to be a hero, because as I've mentioned before, the TV show scared me.
I loved the show back
that,
then.
That cartoon, I was like, he's a superhero?
Well, I was a little older than you.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, he always says it like he's a lot older.
No, like, but 1 year, when 1 year is, I was just a little over a year then, about a year old. When you're a little child, a year is a lot as far as
you were still a little child though too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I can remember more. Yeah. And I was,
well, I can remember plenty.
And I was watching, I've been watching it for a year longer, so I had two big brothers that were watching all the time, so I knew he was a good guy because they was telling me, and they had toys with it and all that.
Yeah. See, that would be the difference, is we didn't have any toys or anybody that, you know. So, it's just, this is a show I had to get to before Dukes of Hazzard would come on. Yeah,
same here, but my cousins and all of them were always telling me, remember, he's the good guy, so I wasn't scared because I had my big brothers and cousins with me all the time, loving him and wearing shirts of him and all that. So
yeah, see, I didn't pay enough attention to a show at that
plus,
time.
Plus, my cousins were wearing outfits of him that their mom would make him, so I knew he was good because we played him as good.
Yeah.
And
that'd make a difference. Oh, well, I didn't have anything like that.
And so then when the cartoon,
it's like something with a cartoon, and I was like, what?
Yeah. And but that, here's the other thing, the cartoon could do things that the TV show couldn't.
Yeah.
He could fight other monsters.
Yeah.
And he could
Team up with Spider-Man,
and he could be Bruce.
They even have I was watching, I think it was even the video I was watching, I was talking to you about. There's a guy who's he kind of edited together it began with an R. Some people who branched off from Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Darn it. But they were the ones that did that later in like 88 Superman cartoon.
I love that one. Yeah.
But they mixed.
I have it up there with all my collections. I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, I can't think of it either. But he mixed some of that with the old Hulk cartoon. How he ended it is when Bruce Banner actually gets on a bus and he gets on there with Spider-Man and his amazing friends. And he was like, wow, who'd have thought superheroes riding on a bus? Yeah, I know. It seems weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny.
And what's funny is,
but seeing them together, that's, I think, what also, I loved Spider-Man. I've loved Spider-Man since I saw that show.
And what's funny is the reason why as a kid, I was like, Bruce, what are they calling him Bruce for? Because on the TV show, he was David.
Yeah.
Which I will say, one of the things I enjoyed about the movie called Hulk.
They called him David Bruce.
They called him, his father was David.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool because it made some sense. They were trying to do some connection. And then the movie, I'll be honest, I liked the movie Incredible Hulk.
With Edward Norton?
With Edward Norton.
Where they did an opening that was more like the old show.
And
yeah,
they did a lot of connections to it. They even had Bill Bigsby on the TV, you know. Yes. And I thought that was really great.
The Courtship of Eddie's Father was on TV.
Courtship of Eddie's Father. And also, You Won't Like Me When I'm Hungry.
Yeah. You know, he says it wrong. Yep.
I still like him better as Bruce Banner.
Yeah, he was a good Bruce Banner. I mean, Mark Ruffalo's done a good
job.
He's
good, but he doesn't look the build. He doesn't have the build. I'm talking bodybuilding. It's not his fault.
We like that skinny look where he's like this weird skinny little dork, you know.
And he fits it right, you know. And now, I like him as an actor.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo,
He does a great job at acting. It's just he doesn't look it, and he looks a little too tough. I mean, he could probably kick our butts.
He looks like he should look like a breeze could knock him over.
Yeah, exactly. And he doesn't look nerdy. He looks like he's a tough football player type, a good looking man. I kind of like Ed Norton. I don't mean this cruelly towards him, but he is handsome, but he just looks like he could be a geek.
Yeah.
And he was them. Yeah. It's just unfortunate he was hard to work with, according to everybody.
Yeah.
But because he's such a good actor, he's in it.
But I'm trailing way far away from the point I was trying to make long ago.
Sorry.
I went a lot further than I meant to. So I was talking about the end of the game.
Yes.
Where Miles says, hey, I got this, because we do see a hymn of growth. But Insomniac's, some of their creative team have been going in interviews that they're planning to move forward with Miles.
And that's the company that makes the game? Insomniac?
Yes, Insomniac.
Oh, we got
Now, everybody has jumped on, and maybe this is what they meant, that, so we're not going to see Peter Parker around except for maybe a side character, and so Spider-Man 3 will be a Miles game. But I said, well, we're not looking at the possibility that there is a Spider-Man Miles Morales game that could have a sequel to that. And then by the time you get to an actual Spider-Man 3 game, you could be back to both of them or a Peter Parker focus. So let's not jump the gun, but everybody is freaking the heck out. Well, see, they knew it. They just wanted to push Peter out and just have a Miles game. We knew they would do it. Well, maybe that's not what they meant to say, but like the next game could be a Miles game, but then we'll get Peter Parker back into Spider-Man 3. So let's hold our horses and wait and see what happens before we freak out.
Games would be fun.
Yeah, give Miles some of his own game series. But one thing that somebody has also pointed out, other than I saw somebody in the comments point out, why can't Miles' electric shocks take out somebody in one hit if that taser can? What was I about to say? Oh, yeah. Somebody else pointed something. Oh, yeah. They pointed out, if you look at the sales figures and the numbers, Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2, both of them have entirely outsold that Miles Morales game. Now, the Miles Morales game was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think that's also why they packaged it when they remastered the Spider-Man game, because they were trying to give some incentive for people to buy the Miles game.
Sure.
Because I'm seeing a lot more of it. Spider-Man fans, we don't call Miles Spider-Man. We call him Miles.
Yeah.
And well, that's what they should have called him, something like the Electric Spider. He needs to have his own identity. We have no problem with Miles. We like him, Miles.
He's
not Spider-Man. Peter is Spider-Man. Miles needs to have his own identity. Because he's got cool powers. He can camouflage, which I didn't use much in the game. But, you know, with the electric stuff he can do, he's got some cool stuff he does. Miles is cool.
It's even confusing when you have, like, the characters of Robin. You still have the Tim Drake Robin. You have to always add these other things. At least when Dick Grayson, the original Robin, became other characters, at least you call him Nightwing.
Yeah, he became something else, so there was only one Robin.
And then there was Red Robin.
Yeah.
Yum.
Robin.
Yeah, he has his own theme song, so to speak. Copyright. No, but anyway, but it's fun that they're smart enough to add a little bit of caveat or whatever to it to make sure that you know that there is the when Batman, for instance, got his back broken.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is another one of those anniversaries this year.
Oh, really?
It was the Nightfall. It was whenever Nightfall happened.
Wow.
Believe it or not, it was in the summer. His back was broken from Bane.
Yeah.
But that being said, when that happened, we had Batman. They called him Batman, but we all knew it was a different Batman.
Batman. And that's the thing. Some side characters have been, you know, like Flash. There's been other people who are the Flash. Yes. There's been other Green Lanterns, but they're not Batman. They're not Superman. They're not Wonder Woman. Their top three have never been swapped. No. Although here recently there's a black Batman, and now we're getting Superman's son.
But they're
doing it for other reasons, and it's
from other realities.
Yeah.
It's
our current reality where they've changed things, and Superman has a son who is bisexual.
I'm talking about the black Superman's from another reality.
Black Batman.
Oh, I see.
There's a black Batman.
Yeah, he has other Batmans that come in.
But it's all this kind of multiverse where they have the excuse to be able to do different things. But so with a major character, don't replace them. They will never fully be replaced. But like a minor character, you can swap out and people will be like, okay, well, now we got a different person.
Blue Beetle.
Yeah, Blue Beetle. A smaller minor character, people don't mind. But a major character and Marvel's top guy, Spider-Man. And there's people even, you know, like Captain America is pretty close up there, that it's hard. You know, there's been other people who have took the honor of Captain America, but it's always going to be to people, Steve Rogers.
And he will always come back.
Yeah. They always have to bring him back.
They've done it with Batman. They've done it with Superman.
Clark Kent will always come back.
And yes, no matter what you think, they will always put the red underwear back on.
You're right.
When I was a teenager,
that's iconic.
I didn't like the red underwear either. But the older you get, you realize that classic look is always the classic look for a reason.
They had good ideas. It added more color to them.
It did. And I'm an artist, so I get this. But the other reason is so the symbol can change a little bit, but for the most part, that classic symbol is going to stay that way.
There's a certain way that S looks.
It has to look that way. It just does. And it's not because change can't be changed. It's just that people always want certain things to look a certain way.
Right.
And our mind is set on it. It's just how it
is. And with the most iconic characters, you cannot swap them, but it seems like they're trying to force Superman, and it's going to fail.
Yeah.
If you try to replace Spider-Man, you can't.
Yeah, so there's a certain those the top three for DC, I say top three. There's still about another five or six that needs to Green Lantern.
Green Lantern's been swapped quite a few times, and people were accepting.
But they had
to bring back Hal Jordan, didn't they?
They've
even had to bring back.
I can't think of the writer right now, but they always bring him in. He's a great writer. He comes back and he does a lot of the writing to bring our classics back. Like for instance, Plastic Man.
Yeah.
He did that. Aquaman. You always have to make it right. I mean, you can change them around and make them other characters and make them weird. Make water hands for Aquaman, but eventually you need to set it right.
Yeah, because Wally West was a Flash, but eventually they had to go back.
Yeah, because I love Wally West. Yeah. However, he's not the Flash.
and I can't think of the name of the
Barry
watch.
Allen.
Barry Allen, thank you.
Yeah.
Although he was not the original.
No. Well, know. Neither was Hal Jordan.
Yeah, Hal Jordan wasn't, but he's the one that we've had the longest, and I don't, you know,
he was the Green Lantern that we know.
Yeah, and he's the one with the power style that we know, because the original Green Lantern was very different.
Yeah, Alan Grant. I mean, yeah. Alan. I can't think of his last name right. But he's still
Alan
best.
Grant's Jurassic Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we've hit an anniversary on that, and we're going to discuss that sometime before the end of the year too.
But he's still the best, the one who's been around the longest.
Right. It's the one we all know who's, you know, developed that status where when they mess around, they still have to bring that character back.
Yeah.
Okay, but I went a lot longer on that than
Me
I meant
too.
To, but, you know, I wanted to fill the show. But overall, I'd say, is it worth buying and playing? Yes.
Yeah.
Is there some problems with it? Yes.
Sure.
Did they stick some agenda in it? Yes. But I had a heck of a time playing it. And now that I'm done with it, I tried to play where they rebooted Tomb Raider and I didn't like it because there was a quick time event that was always, if I messed up and they barely gave me a chance to get it right, it's insta death. And I got so frustrated and I'm like, you know, I'm taking this back. And I got the store credit and put it towards my Final Fantasy Rebirth. Huh?
Are the graphics any good?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. And this has been like an old PS4 game.
Yeah.
But I never really liked the original Tomb Raider games anyway. They just weren't my cup of tea. Because one little mistake and you either fall down in some water and you got to climb all this thing back up again. It's very frustrating. I don't like frustrating games.
Yeah.
So I did not like the new Tomb Raider, so I was able to move on. Now I'm trying to play Deathloop, which I'll discuss maybe a later time. Maybe, although there's a heck of a lot of language, but it's fun and it's very cool. But yeah, now I want to go through. Oh, before we start talking some Robin Hood, I do want to, because of the time this is coming out, we've got the Marvel's film that has come out. I got to open up.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, and I don't plan to. I'm not paying money for this. But Forbes had an article. Oh, see if I can get it to open real fast. The Marvels arrives as the third worst reviewed MCU movie ever. And they have a screenshot from Rotten Tomatoes where it was after they were getting the critics to review. And this is before audience reviews. It was sitting at 53% with that. And it was 68 reviews in. Now, I did go and look, and this is even lower. Ant-Man and the Wasp on that list, though the movie was even lower with a 46, the worst overall. The third rotten film is Eternals, which I maintain, after all this time, got a really bad rap. Well, that's what the writer says, is it got a bad rap, but Eternals was that bad.
Yeah, now I like the Wasp, okay.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed all three Ant-Man movies,
although
they're not great compared to the first one.
No.
But I'm still enjoying them. Now, yeah, Eternals was garbage. Now, I've got a note in here for myself. I said reviews did improve a little by Friday with a high audience score, and the critic score did come up into like 60% something. But those early reviews that would have come in from audience were the people who rushed and wanted to go watch it Thursday night that were actually legitimately excited about the film. So they're going to be a bit skewed.
Emotion does have something.
Yeah, emotion does have. And I've seen a few people that the people I consider to, like, I don't care what Disney puts out. I'm going to just love it.
Yeah,
I've seen some of those people who have enjoyed the movie. And right now it says like a 50-50. Some people are like, oh, hey, I liked it. And other people are like, what was that? I plan on not going. I don't care about any of those characters. I don't like Brie Larson.
Yeah.
I preferred Ms. Marvel as she was. And I'm talking the original Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Not whatever her face is with Mr. Fantastic's powers.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when she was Ms. Marvel and Rogue stole her powers and all that one. That one.
Yeah.
I've got some comics of her and I liked her then. But they've decided to make her the most powerful thing ever and gave her the personality to go with it. And she's not enjoyable.
Yeah, I miss
And I didn't like Brie Larson. I didn't like that Captain Marvel movie. I have not liked her appearances in anything. I don't want to go see another movie about her.
Yeah.
I don't care. So I'm not going. I'm not paying money for that. If it turns out it's important, I might try to watch it when it comes to Disney Plus. But that's also a problem that Marvel's running into, where you have to watch every loving thing that they put out in order to know what's going on. And I have skipped out a few things in the first episode of Loki. I was even like, what's going on again?
Yeah.
And I do want to watch the rest of it because I love, I'm just going to call him Short Round because he's always going to be Short Round to me.
Yeah.
He was great. I watched the first episode. And I love him and I love Owen Wilson and I love Tom Hiddleston. But I was really like, what's going on again?
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to try to watch the rest of that. So I'll get around to it. But I figured at least because that movie's come out, I figured I wanted to have something to mention of it. I still don't plan to see it. The reviews are very, very mixed. If you want to go see it, go and enjoy. And I hope you do enjoy it. But don't come crying to me if you go into it and said, that was awful. Because come on, you knew it was Brie Larson.
I may see it with my friend, my other friend, James. But the only problem is, I'll be kind of lost because I couldn't even watch some of the shows that led.
Because you have to watch WandaVision, you'd have to watch that Ms. Marvel show.
WandaVision
I did enjoy.
Yeah,
that got weird. I had problems the way it ended because there's no consequences.
The Ms. Marvel movie, I didn't watch that show because
the first episode was like, well, that was okay, but I didn't like the style of it so much.
Yeah, I couldn't get into.
They changed her powers around. Trying to separate her from Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah,
they gave her like she had like weird genie powers or something. But I was like, yeah, I'm not sorry. I tried to watch it, but I was like, I'm not getting into this.
Yeah.
This is not aimed at me. This is aimed at a generation beneath me, younger than me.
It was definitely like a kid's show. I just couldn't get,
it didn't appeal to me. I don't really care about the character because Marvel did start creating what I call the diversity characters.
Mm-hmm.
They created them strictly because it was a hip, popular thing to create diverse characters. So, but they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't create necessarily original ones. They created a different Spider-Man. They created a different Ms. Marvel with somebody else's exact powers.
Yeah.
They didn't really create something new.
Yeah.
They just like, let's do a diversity version of the same thing we already had.
Yeah. So, like,
but I don't want to rant on that. Yeah, I'm going to move on.
Let's do the Filipino version of.
But they they hit the hot buttons. Oh, let's make a Muslim one.
Yeah.
Because that's a hot button thing. And then Miles got the benefit of both things because, we need to have a black one. But we need it because they wanted to do the cause of people who are crossing the border illegal. And they thought it was about Mexico. It's never been about Mexico.
No.
It's been about drug cartels. It's been about terrorists.
That's a sad thing.
It's been about making our country safe. And we want people who want to come here to work. We want to find ways for them to be able to come and do it. But we don't. We have to know who's coming across the border.
Yeah,
but anyways, that's a whole other issue I don't want to get off on.
No.
So I'm going to stop that right there. But that's why we have a Ms. Marvel who's a Muslim, and we have a Miles Morales who is not only black but Puerto Rican, so he can hit all the buttons.
Yeah, and I don't want to feel like I'm being preached when we're watching this show.
Yeah, there's reasons why those characters were created, and it wasn't because somebody had a good idea for a character.
And I felt like we were getting that when we were watching She-Hulk, too.
I didn't watch that She-Hulk show. I got the first episode and said, this is trash.
It was
worse than Eternals.
There was some,
and I wanted to watch a good She-Hulk show.
Some,
but I don't want to rant on that. I really want to get off of this so bad.
Some things are okay about, but some things
so.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I want to get off of this and get to happy stuff.
Go ahead.
Because this stuff bugs me of what they do because they're not trying to tell good stories. But who was telling good stories? And I got a write up on here. I had a ChatGPT help me write. I told ChatGPT we're at the 50th anniversary of Disney's animated classic Robin Hood. can you give me some behind the scenes info and whatever? And so it wrote me up a thing. And it even before it wrote the article, said, that's a wonderful idea. And I was like, well, thank you, automated AI.
So what is this?
ChatGPT is an AI that will write up stuff for you. You give it some stuff and it'll go out and grab the research and then it'll write up on a completely original write up. Let me read for you what ChatGPT gave to me. The year was 1973. And I feel like the Golden Girl Sophia. Picture it. And Walt Disney Productions was exploring new creative avenues after the passing of its founder, Walt Disney. Robin Hood was a unique project in many ways. Notably, it featured anthropomorphic animals taking on the roles of iconic characters from the legendary tales. Now, one fascinating aspect of the film is the use of recycled animation. Due to budget constraints at the time, the animators ingeniously repurposed sequences from earlier Disney films like The Jungle Book and The Aristocats. Keep an ear out as you watch. Keep an ear out as you watch. Oh, and you might just catch a glimpse of Baloo or some familiar feline friends. Ear. I think ChatGPT got the wrong thing. Behind every great animated film is a talented cast, and Robin Hood is no exception. The characters were brought to life by a stellar voice cast, including Brian Bedford as Robin Hood. Just passed away, I think, this year or last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Monica Evans as Maid Marian, and the legendary Peter Ustinov as the comically villainous Prince John. Peter Ustinov is awesome. He's so funny. Their performances added depth and charm to the characters we know and love.
Of course, Phil Harris came back.
Yeah, Phil Harris. Yep. Why didn't they mention Phil Harris in this?
I don't know, because instead of being Baloo.
Well, we're mentioning it.
Yeah,
but he's still Baloo, but he's Little John.
Yeah,
he's Baloo.
Yeah, he was three of their characters. First one he was from the Aristocats when he played.
Oh yeah,
Mally.
Thomas O'Malley.
Yeah.
Alley cat. Yeah. But now let's talk about music, speaking of which. Robin Hood is not only remembered for its engaging storyline, but also for its memorable soundtrack composed by George Bruns. The film, George Bruns did a lot of stuff with Disney.
Amazing.
The film features catchy tunes like Ooda Lolly and Love, which have become iconic in their own right. The music combined with the animation truly brought the Sherwood Forest to life. And the character design in Robin Hood pushed the boundaries of traditional animation. The animators experimented with more simplified and stylized approach, giving each character a unique and expressive look. It was a departure from the realistic characters of the earlier films, and this artistic choice was contributed to the film's enduring appeal. It says Robin Hood holds a special place in the hearts of many Disney fans. Its legacy lives on not only for the film itself, but also through merchandise, theme park attractions, and countless references in pop culture. Now, sure. I didn't see this until I think it was one time I was staying the night over here. I don't remember how old we were. That's first. And I think I fell asleep towards the end because it was late.
Oh, yeah.
I always seem to fall asleep around the because it has a part that it slows down a little bit because we're going to stealthy. We're sneaking in to break out all the prisoners.
It's getting darker. Even.
And so every time I watch it, that's where I start to feel just a little sleepy because it does. After all the goofy and funny, now it's like, now it's serious.
And
we've got to be quiet. And we have that sad song.
And even the...
So every town has its up and downs.
And that was a...
Not a nodding hand.
Suddenly his name, Roger Miller.
Oh, Roger Miller, yes.
Roger Miller, I brought it out. Roger Miller was Alan amazing.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greats.
Does he tell you about this, that, or just how it was, or how
it
is?
Yeah. He had a way of talking.
Yeah, he did.
Just amazing. There's certain guys who could just talk their way, sing their way, and even when he talked, it was like he was singing a song. He was amazing.
No, yeah.
And I love to hear him talk.
Yeah, I remember before I watched it with you, I almost got to see it one time. We were staying over at Grandma's, and this was back in the 80s when there was A Wonderful World of Disney.
Yes.
And they'd been advertising. They were going to show Robin Hood. And it started coming on, but we were waiting for the ride to take us to church.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was like, Grandma, I've never seen this, and I've been wanting to watch it. And
Trailer for Sale or Rent. That's him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Till it 50 cents. Yep. Boom. He was so great.
Yeah.
He was a storyteller.
Yeah,
he was. He was one of those old storyteller songwriters. Man, he was so amazing.
Yeah, and that's perfect for him to be Alan Adale because he's telling the story.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got that song, which at the time I didn't realize what it was, but it becomes so iconic when it became the hamster dance.
Oh, yeah.
It was all sped up. And when I first heard the hamster dance, I didn't realize it. But then you go and you watch the opening and you slow it down. But you speed up. And the hamster dances. Yeah. But it's a great opening because you get introduced to all the characters. And then you get to see the fun little chase saying, it's a great opening.
It's such a classic Roger Miller way. He does this fun little do, 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 do. Yeah. He's so perfect.
I should have watched this week before I was coming.
I'm going to watch it now.
Yeah,
I just
we're
going
to watch
show.
It today. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I can't. The problem is these I can't think of the name of the Super 7 makes us great toys.
Yeah,
I've
and
seen there's
those.
A Robin Hood. There's some Robin Hood toys I really want.
Yeah.
One in particular is Robin Hood himself. He comes with the. Remember when he pretended to be that Birdman?
Yes.
He
yes.
comes with all that.
Oh.
And he also the one I am going to order is they actually have made the Big Bad Wolf who comes with all of his outfits. The sheep. I'm doing for a sermon. I'm doing. But they even made Prince John and Prince. John. They got two Prince Johns.
Yeah, I've seen the Prince Charles.
They
great
also
looking
have
figure.
With blue outfit. I want the red though. But and he comes with Sir Hiss.
Yeah,
I want that.
But Sterling Hollowell.
And who else?
Was Sterling Hollowell Sir Hiss in this as well?
Because
he was Kaa.
He was yes. No. It was Sir Hiss was that Terry Thomas.
But yeah, because he does have a different.
He had that gap in his teeth.
Yeah,
and that's
that
why he had that big gap in his. That's why he had it.
But it works
yeah,
so
Terry
well.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Terry Thomas was a famous actor at the
Sterling
time.
He Hallwell, was on, is he even in this one?
Terry Thomas was the Mad World.
Oh, and you know I need to see that one
oh,
one
that's
these days.
A great one.
It's like a 3-hour comedy.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I've seen the quote-unquote remake where they did it as the race one
too.
With Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, it was great.
That
one.
Was funny. But it's got a lot of great... Like some one of my favorite moments, like when you're just kind of introducing the characters at the beginning, and I love when Little John looks over Robin and says, "Robin, are we the good guys or the bad guys?"
Yeah, that's a good.
Because
like
love that. We're stealing from people, but we're trying to give it to the
Robin
poor.
Robin Hood, Little John walking through the forest. Ooh la la, golly, what a day!
Yeah. There are great songs
yeah,
in
it's
that
a great,
show.
Great
my goodness.
Show,
and a lot of great lines. And I even love like Robin Hood. This the personality they gave for Robin Hood. He's like. Not arrogant, but he's a little overconfident.
A little cocky, but not
a little cocky,
bad way.
But not to be an
but
arrogant
he's
person,
affable,
annoying. Because like he had the one arrow that went through, you know, and Little John points out, it's like, well, that one almost had your name on it there, didn't
yeah,
it?
Really?
And then he
kind
of ha ha and flings it and puts it through Little John's hat to give him one too.
Ah,
and Little John's yeah. a little bit annoyed, but he's like, okay, you're playing.
He's like, all right, pal.
Yeah.
And you know what I also love? And I didn't notice this as a kid because I didn't know the story of Robin Hood extremely well. My sister gave me these books, which I still have. These books of Three Musketeers and Robin Hood, and it seems like there was another one, but and they kind of gave you you can tell it has a real 70s look about it, but it has a, because you know, we're talking late 70s.
Yeah,
early 80s,
yeah, yeah.
But it gives you the basic stories of Robin Hood and all. And, you know, the real famous fighting with the sticks. Well, even the beginning of when they're saying Robin Hood, Little John, it shows them kind of fighting around with the sticks.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that as a kid, but it's in there. And I loved it. I'm like, oh, okay, so now I get it. That's kind of a famous thing. Of course, they did it in the Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, where he meets Little John.
He meets Little John.
Yeah. Which is a famous story of
yeah,
the old legends.
Is.
That's a great story.
That one's been going way back in 14.
Well,
15,
I'd love.
15.
I don't know if I've ever seen them do that with like Friar Tuck. There's a story of just
yes,
trying to cross the river.
That's in that book.
Yeah,
and,
or carrying him across the water. Mm-hmm. But now I got to go back over there, and I'm best
and
to do it. You know?
They kind of did that in The Prince of Thieves, except they did it in this way,
yeah.
where he's fighting over. He goes, roast in heck, and he bites him. You know, he's fighting this time over ale and stuff.
Yes.
He's a drunk, you know.
Yeah,
it's funny. But I love the guy who played Friar Tuck on that.
Yeah, in this. In the Disney, because the actor in
Disney,
that Friar Tuck.
That guy.
Oh, that actor. I
can't
think of his
name.
But
yeah, me either.
Dadgummit.
We just did a stereo thing.
Yeah, we did.
But I watched him on a Western
the other
day. It's
not Walter Brennan.
He was on some John Wayne movies and some other things. I watched him the other day on a Western, and he gets to talking. And it was so funny because one thing that Disney was great about back then, it was, whether you realize it or not, they were not only making it, they sounded like these character actors, but they looked like them. The guy had was real famous for having kind of this way of talking, and he had these sideburns, these white sideburns that come down. Well, Friar looked like that. Now, I don't remember if he's supposed to be a possum or whatever he's supposed to be. I don't think a possum.
Badger. He's a badger.
He's coming down with these sideburns, just like the actor did. And in that Western that I was watching, he's like, I go, I'll be, look at that guy fall down. And I was like, oh, I swear that's Friar Tuck if I ever heard of Friar Tuck.
Andy Devine.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one.
Pat Buttram is the other guy who's in there.
Buttram.
He's the sheriff of Nottingham.
I love Pat Buttram.
Yeah.
And he was real famous on, was it Petticoat Junction? It was one of those shows. He was on Petticoat
Junction. Andy Devine?
Pat Buttram. Or maybe it was Green Acres. They kind of went together, the two shows. But I think
Pat Buttram is in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was. But he was really good on that show. And don't forget, we have Jim Nabors. Not Jim Nabors.
George Lindsay. George Lindsay. As Trigger.
Trigger. Uh-huh. Yeah. He was great on there. They used a lot of those same voices around the same time. Because Jim Nabors was also on... Aristocats. He was on a few of those.
You said Jim Nabors again. Did you mean George Lindsay?
One was Gomer, one was Goober.
right.
Basically, he's playing Goober.
Yeah, he has Terry Thomas as Sir Hiss, Brian Bedford, Peter Ustinov, Roger Miller. This is almost an order of appearance. Lady Cluck, almost forgot about Lady Cluck. Carol Shelley, she looks kind of familiar. The name sounds familiar.
There's a lot of times they use extras on TV shows and all because they have these wonderful voices or they're actresses who used to be big at the time and they would use them again. I just loved it. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, and I remember it was one of my favorite ones and we sat and we watched and everything. Oh, and there's so much good fun and it has between the good comedy. It's such a great scene there in the beginning when they realize when Robin Hood, Little John, they come across Prince John's caravan.
And when he smiles, he has all those jewels in his mouth.
And he's taking all the rings off.
Little John is being such
a
jerk. He's got that crazy wig on.
And Sir Hiss is like trying to do it. It's like, oh, you're tickling my ear. Stop it.
Yeah, stop it.
Peter Ustinov is, even on The Muppet Show, he's really funny on there.
And the other thing about that actor.
Peter Ustinov, I love
him. Peter Ustinov later on plays in a lot of movies of being a heathen in biblical movies where he plays, and they're not always biblical, but there usually are, where he'll play like a biblical man, like a king trying to get Jesus or whatever. And it's so funny.
Like King Herod and whatever.
Yeah. And I'll see him and think, wait a minute, I'm laughing at this guy trying to kill Jesus. But it's because I can't help but see Sir Hiss go, get him, put him on the cross.
Or Prince John, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. I see him.
You know, mommy.
Yeah, mommy. I was like, suck your thumb, Herod, or whatever. Forgive me if that sounded blasphemous. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah. But he was so funny as Prince John. He makes him one of the most lovable villains, I think, in a Disney film. Just because he's such a jerk, but he's so comically, you know, and him and Captain Hook. Because Captain Hook, he's so funny, but he's also a threat.
Another great voice actor.
Yes.
He was the Grinch on the Halloween
The Halloween is Grinch Night?
Yeah.
I can't think of that actor's name either. But he did a lot for Disney.
He did a lot of great things.
Yeah. But as far as like the recycle thing, it is fun to kind of look. But the thing that I like to point out when people talk about recycled animation, a lot of times for movement, you know, they would film somebody doing the movements they want.
They put it over.
And then they would go through and like, okay, they would match that. So they still had to redraw the new character, but they based it off the animation of what they already did. So they didn't have to pay somebody to come in to pose it. They're like, okay, because you still have to draw it. So you're not really recycling. You're just like, okay, let's use that same reference we did before.
It saves a lot of time.
And draw the different character doing that same movement. And even sometimes the character does look similar.
And
I've seen,
I don't remember if they were shorts like on YouTube. There might have been both, actually. But I know they've done it on some Disney things where they've shown, and you can see it, they're running back-to-back things that were done on, I think, Dumbo. Because, you know, they went way back.
They
do stuff on Dumbo. But, like, little segments. So, unless you had a specialist like that, because, I mean, they are specialists.
Yeah.
So, unless you had someone who was very educated on it, you're not going to notice it. I kid you not when I say split second.
And it wasn't like we had VCRs, at the time.
No.
Or, you know, they kept putting Disney movies back out in theater. You wouldn't get to see it again when it wasn't a theater. You weren't going to be able to watch it.
And not just that.
Unless they showed a clip, so did parts of it. They wouldn't show the entire movie sometimes, but apparently, you know, during the Wonderful World of Disney or whatever, or the World of Color stuff, they would show you either an original made-for-TV movie or they'd show you an edited down version of something that was in the theater, you know, to edit down for time.
Yeah, like,
because they had to fit ads in there.
That's right. In fact.
So, but you wouldn't get to see it all the time to be like, hey, that's the exact same dance from the
other
one.
I still don't know to this day why they did it. But I remember when they brought back Pete's Dragon at the theater in 1983.
Same time Gremlins came out. I remember that because we had the choice between Gremlins and Peace Dragon.
What was the one you went to see?
When Gremlins came out.
Yes.
And it was the day the Hardys had the toys out. We went to Hardys and we got the choice. Oh, you want to go see Peace Dragon or Gremlins? And we'd seen all the stuff at Hardys and like, oh, Gremlins has got this cute little thing in there. Yeah. Well, let's go see Gremlins. I had no idea what I was in for.
But
I remember looking at my brother at one point when it was the scary kitchen stuff. I was like, maybe we should have went to Peace Dragon.
But I know this, that when Peace Dragon came out, for some reason, they edited out two songs. Why would they do that? I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I know one song was edited for What You Can Do With All the Parts of a Dragon, I think was edited out at one point.
No. I'm not talking about from the original release. I'm talking about from the original release to the re-release. They edited it out because my mother and father had the soundtrack from when they first saw it. And they saw it when it first came out when I was a baby. They loved the movie. So when they brought it back out in 1984, they cut a couple things off the film. Now, you can understand that like on television. But
for time, but yeah, theater.
At the theater, when you pay for the full film, you should get the full damn film.
Yeah.
But they didn't for some reason. Like the you know what it was? I remember the family is looking for Pete in the beginning of the movie, and you don't get that happy is home in these hills. It's not in them at the theater. The first time I saw it, so when I finally saw it at home on video, I was like, oh, finally there, because I'd heard the soundtrack. But I was like, finally get to see it. You know, and there was another one. I don't remember what it was, but I was excited. Anyway, back to what we were talking about.
Yeah, back to Robin Hood. What was I saying before we got on Pete's Dragon?
Oh, we were talking about the reanimation.
Reanimating and, or, you know.
And I know what it was. I was going to say, not only were, I've heard people say, oh, they were cheating. They were, number one, it was still theirs. Plus.
Yeah. It just meant they went back to the same reference model that they had before.
And it saved a lot of time.
Yeah. And they didn't do full rotoscoping where they would trace over something. That's rotoscoping.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I don't think it's done so much anymore. That was a big popular thing there in the 70s. You'll find it in The Secret of NIMH. You'll find it in that animated Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
They did a lot of rotoscoping.
But Lord of the Rings is weird because you can actually see behind it.
But you're only seeing the drawing, but they do so much detail. Then when they draw it in there, like even The Secret of NIMH, it's mainly the farm machinery. They in order to make it look good, that they drew on top of the frames of it. But it looks almost more realistic and everything. But it really is just a drawing you're seeing. But what Disney would do is have a reference model, and they would someone to dance, and then they could watch that and they could draw it. And you can even see. I loved looking at this with the making of Beauty and the Beast. Remember that Disney Channel had? I watched it so many times before that movie came out. They had the guy who was animating the beast was looking in a mirror and moving the cape around because he wanted to see how it looked.
Glenn something, right?
Was it Glenn Keane?
Keane, yeah. I love Glenn Keane.
But it's just kind of neat to watch that they still do that. But sometimes they'd film somebody doing the movement because like in Lion King, that old Robert Guillaume hosted Making of the Lion King that was on TV. And they showed them bringing the animals in so they could draw the animals while looking at them. And they would get them idea of how they moved. So they would use references. They still do.
Glenn it's really cool. Glenn Keane made Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Oh, Glenn was yes.
And his brother, creator of Family Circus, Bill Keane.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Some great talented artists have worked over
Glenn
there.
Was
I think even Don Bluth worked on Robin Hood, now that I think about it.
Don did.
Yeah, Don Bluth, because he was like Jungle Book. He did a lot of stuff.
Don was, and another one who worked on all that stuff, Richard.
Richard Rich. Richard yes, Rich, yes, yes.
Who went on to make Nest Entertainment.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to be sharing soon. I just bought a whole bunch of them. I'm going to be buying the American ones. Soon.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
He went to make some wonderful Bible-based cartoons. And now I don't agree with him on everything because he also made some Mormon ones. Yeah,
Book
ones.
Of Mormon ones
but,
as well.
But he did do a lot of wonderful Christian ones, and I love them. I love those. And there's some. And I don't know who wrote the songs for those, but if I'm talking about the Christian cartoons, the Nest Entertainment.
There are some good songs in there.
Yeah,
in fact,
talking about reusing, he even reused one of those songs whenever he did the... Swan Princess. He reused that song, except he.
So Richard Rich did the Swan Princess.
Yeah.
I thought Don Bluth had done
no,
that.
No,
one.
No. That was Richard Rich.
Oh,
it was Nest
okay.
Entertainment. But what he did was he took one of the songs from their Christian things and he just changed the words to it.
Oh my goodness! Is Richard Rich also the one that did that? The Quest for Camelot?
That was a Warner Brothers.
Or was it okay?
But because some of the animation doesn't quite. I mean, I like the movie. I like.
Yeah,
it.
I haven't seen that in a long time. But, I remember we went to the theater to see.
Yes,
that one.
I loved it. But there were certain animation things that wasn't quite right, like on the horses.
Yeah,
it almost looked like they were floating on air, and it just didn't quite. No, because Richard Rich would have caught that. So would have Don Bluth.
Yeah, Don Bluth.
They would have
the quality
that.
Of Don Bluth.
But
is
I do love
good.
That they use a Superman. Music in that movie with those two dragons.
Oh yeah,
and you had Don Rickles' voice and Bill. Yeah. What was his name? Bill. He was one of the.
I remember that was one of the funny things is when Don Rickles it was somebody who was kind of more almost proper, but
well,
funny.
Yeah, he was a Briton from that show we were talking about earlier. Monty Python guys.
Yeah. Oh, was it Eric Idle?
Eric Idle.
Yeah.
Yes, Eric Idle.
Yeah. Oh. I haven't seen that in a long time. That was a fun show. Although as I got older, I think last time I watched it, I was a bit older. I was like, this isn't as good as I remember it, but it's still kind of fun.
But it's got some good voices. Yeah. And it definitely has some good songs. But I enjoyed Eric Idle in there. Yeah. And I enjoyed Don Rickle. You can't beat Don Rickle, man.
But we're supposed to be talking about Robin Hood.
Let's go back to Robin Hood. Sorry. We love animation.
And hand-drawn.
And I miss classic
And the people
animation.
Who worked in Robin Hood did a lot of really cool stuff.
I miss classic animation.
I really do.
And I will say the last classic animation, even though it's not my favorite, I will say I was really thrilled when Disney brought out the Princess and the Frog, only because it was classic animation and you had John Goodman.
And it looked so good. They did such a great job. And the animation was beautiful.
And
I was
glad to get a black princess. I was glad.
Yeah, it was a good story.
It was great.
You know, we don't mind what color your princess is. As long as you tell us a good story, I will enjoy the heck out of it. Plus, we finally got that's one of, because I love Keith David anyway.
Oh, yes.
And him getting to play a Disney villain and a scary one at that.
And he loved it.
He was so into it.
He loved it. And you know what else I loved? I love that alligator.
Yes.
It was Louis. Louis. And he was so and he's based off
Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
I loved it, man.
Such it's a great movie, but that hand drawn has such a thing. And you know, and I guess to kind of get around to where we can wrap this up, because this was like Walt passed away, if I remember correctly, during the production of The Jungle Book.
Yes.
So this was the first feature we had without Walt.
It was.
But we have a lot of that similar style. But as it goes along, Don Bluth, the reason why he left Disney, and he left it about, I think the last thing, he didn't complete The Fox and the Hound, but he did enough well on Fox and the Hound. But he says, you know, we're losing track of how Walt did this thing. Something is not right. And of course he left. That was about the time where Disney was hitting its downturn on animation. And it was making a lot of stuff that wasn't quite working. Although there's still some good stuff that I did enjoy from the 80s, but they weren't hitting that same level that they did until they came back, you know, close to like 89 with The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
There was
this
kind of a rough period there. Although I still love Oliver and Company. That was really off track for Disney. It's not a bad movie.
No, it's not some good animation.
But it's off track a little bit.
It just doesn't have. If you had a couple songs.
I don't know why Richard Rich left, though. I've never heard that.
His was a moral thing, the same type of thing. He said that what I was studying about it, just recently, he said that he felt that there was things that they were missing out on that weren't quite Walt-like.
Yeah.
But he also
same
said,
thing, kind of what Don Bluth was saying.
Pretty much, almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
And their animation style is almost identical. But I mean, a little off.
Yeah.
What Richard Rich brought, kind of like Don, was the big hands, and basically, when you think of stuff like Don Bluth style of I was going to say Space Ace. That's not quite right.
Space Ace was one of his.
Dragon's Lair. That style is very Don Bluth, very Richard Rich.
Yeah, and he wasn't afraid to get a little dark with Secret of NIMH.
Yes.
I mean, Don Bluth will draw a little dark, but there's something, even with Secret of NIMH, even when it's dark, there's something magical about
it. He was afraid, Richard Rich was afraid with Black Cauldron and all that. He was afraid that they were going to be getting away from good moral standards, and he wanted to start something new.
Yeah.
So that's why he wanted to make the American history ones that he did.
And he did some neat stuff.
And wonderful. Yeah. I mean, they're great.
And Don Bluth, we all know all the cool stuff he did.
So you can look these things up, by the way, on YouTube, is what I've been doing. And you can actually. They are on YouTube. You can look them up. You can look up Nest Entertainment cartoons. There's wonderful Christian and American history cartoons, and they're factual. For instance, they have a Pocahontas cartoon that follows, not the Disney one, which, by the way, I love the music and all that from that movie, and I love Mel Gibson on that movie. But that is actually, this Nest Entertainment version of Pocahontas is actually factual, historical.
Yeah, because she was a child.
Yeah, they have her 11, 12.
Yeah.
And she... It actually follows the history.
Yeah.
And that's one thing you want. There was always
she didn't run off with John Smith, but she did marry an Englishman.
That's right. Now, they tried to fix that on the sequel to Pocahontas.
I didn't watch it.
It's not bad, but...
Because I didn't really like Pocahontas.
Yeah, I like Pocahontas things about it, but I didn't like the whole thing.
It was preachy as heck.
It was.
Because the first time I watched it, I was like... Because I had a period in my life that whatever Disney made, it was going to be wonderful.
Same here.
But at the second time I watched Pocahontas, I was like, wow, this is preachy. And
I do like the music. But one thing I'll say about that movie, I love the villain.
Oh, and it's David Ogden Stiers.
David Ogden Stiers.
Because he was great.
He was, everything he did was great. Rather, he's a clock.
We're so off track of Robin.
But we'll go back.
I had a point, though, because the people who worked on this back then, and that Disney has lost something since then, was kind of the point I was getting at. The Robin Hood being one of the specials. Though.
Back to the pre. That exactly. to me was the beginning of not everything was great anymore. They right. could get preachy and weird when they didn't need to.
Right. So and they've gotten away from even now. They're not even really telling the fairy tales. Yeah. I mean, they pretend the Frozen was based off of the Ice Princess or the Ice Queen,
but it's
a completely different story. It is doesn't resemble at all. They didn't take anything out of it other than having somebody with ice powers.
As much as I like Frozen,
they're kind of creating, and it's fine. They're creating their own stories, but there's something special about doing the kind of the old fairy tales. There's something. There's a moral to old fairy tales that they're not really having in the modern. Where they're making up their own.
The thing is, they're trying to add their own. First of all, you have to have morals. And understand
they've created their own morality. And
that's what I'll say. You have to know what morality is.
Yeah.
And if you're not moral yourself, I remember I'm a preacher. If you don't know what morality is, if you don't have the Lord, you don't have morals.
You don't have the straight, you've invented your own instead of taking what God has said.
Yeah, if you're immoral.
And even with what we're seeing, we're on like second trailer from Wish where it appears they're trying to poke at God.
Yeah, you can't do that.
With that. And if it turns out we're wrong about that, what that second trailer seems to show, okay, fine. But right now I have no interest in seeing Wish. And it's weird for the last two major Disney animated releases, I've had no interest in seeing.
Yeah.
That is the first time in my entire life of 46 years that Disney puts out something that I'm not excited to go see a Disney animated feature.
Yeah. See, when I was young.
But I don't want to be complaining. No, I'm trying not to.
When I was young, though, when I was 13 is whenever they brought Little Mermaid.
Oh, and that's a great movie.
I was so excited, and I saw it on opening day, and I was excited to see something on its opening day. I don't know why it became a big deal for me, but it was. Maybe because I used to get ruined. Movies would get ruined for me, and people would tell me things.
Your cousin.
Well, he wasn't the only one. There was others. But I was so – well, part of it, too, was the commercials and the books they'd bring out and everything else. And
at the mall in Metro North, I found a book of Little Mermaid, and I read like three quarters of that book.
Yeah,
in the store.
But that's the other thing. They don't mean to, probably, but by toys and everything else, you kind of figure out the film before you see the film. Like I said, I didn't get to see until that summer when I was 13, before The Little Mermaid came out, I finally got to see Jungle Book. And
loved The Jungle Book.
Not knowing if Disney was going to change how they brought movies, because until Little Mermaid, they did not bring movies right out to video. So I didn't want to have to be stuck of waiting till I was, old to see Little Mermaid. Yeah. I wanted to see it right away.
I didn't see it until it was on video.
Yeah, well.
We didn't get to go out to the theater that much.
My grandma took me, and I loved it.
Yeah. I watched it twice, right, back to back.
Yeah, it's great.
Little Mermaid.
The animation was so fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just like what. Now, one thing I'll say, I don't know if Little Mermaid was the first one that did this. I think it was. One thing I noticed a huge difference between even Oliver & Company and Little Mermaid. Oliver & Company kind of followed the same guidelines of Robin Hood. They used to use black lines on their animation, black lines on the outline. They didn't do that quite as much on Little Mermaid. They used black lines, but not quite as much. They used a lot of the same color lining.
They'd ink it a little differently.
They inked it with like a shade line.
Yeah.
They use like...
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Me being the artist like I am. By the way, I don't mean that arrogantly. I just mean that I'm a visual man.
Yeah.
And but instead of being flesh color, it's a darker flesh color for her eyelids. And that was the first thing that caught my attention. Instead of being the color of her, a black line for her nose outlines, it was a darker flesh color for her outline nose. And that stuff caught my attention. They did it for Belle. It was after Little Mermaid that started.
Well, and even after, because that's one of the things I thought was very interesting. So, I mean, the Disney Renaissance, they don't really count Rescuers Down Under as part of the Renaissance. But the important thing about the Rescuers Down Under, the important thing is that's the first time they used computers to do color. Because they could do the more vibrant and different shades of color a lot easier. And to make them really pop. And so from that point forward, the colors really pop. Because Little Mermaid still looks good with this color.
Oh, yeah.
But when you see what the difference between that and the Rescuers Down Under, the colors is amazing.
I'll tell you, they can say what they want. And I know that it had to do with the fact that the day that Rescuers Down Under came out, Home Alone came out. And I love Rescuers Down Under.
It's a good movie. It's not as good as the original,
first of all,
I think,
the same day they brought Rescuers Down Under, right before it played, was the Prince of the Pauper, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, okay.
Played with it at the theater.
Oh, see, I didn't see that until later.
I adored it. It's one of my favorite Mickey Mouse things.
I own a copy of that.
And it's amazing.
I think I do.
And it put me in a Christmas spirit because of snowing. And Mickey,
Well, it used to be because you'd always get a new Disney animated film around Christmas time. So it was always felt Christmas to me for a long time.
Yeah, it was so brilliant. Yeah. And the other thing was...
We're so far off.
Oh, it's okay.
But it's what we love about the Disney animation. It's still fine, right?
Back to Glenn King. The thing that he did that was so amazing with that movie was he animated the Golden Eagle.
And it looked so cool. They did a good job.
One thing they did that was brilliant back then is the villains always had the greatest voices. You had George C. Scott.
Yes.
And not only that... The man who did the music, Bruce Broughton. Broughton, who did the music for Tombstone.
Yeah.
Amazing. Also, that was the last time we got a role from Billy Barty. Billy Barty.
Who was he in Rescuers Down Under?
He was a voice of the little mouse who was captured and the boy set him free. And then and that was his last role. And he passed away shortly even before the movie came out.
Wow.
And he just... I love Billy Barty. If you don't know him, you guys do know him. He's from Willow
as the and Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe, and he also he's around,
Figment.
Oh, he was Figment.
He'll always be Figment. Always be
in
Figment.
In my opinion, if they bring out another Figment thing, they need to computerize his voice and use that voice.
But if they do that, please get permission from his family. Something.
Pay his family.
Yeah. Get permission because that's one of those iffy things on me.
And he was on the Waltons. He did so many movies back in the day where he was the famous, pardon me, short person, small person.
Yeah.
With a big heart. And he was brilliant.
And he's such was just great characters.
Yes.
He knew when to bring it down, knew when to be bigger and larger than life.
And I love,
for a little guy, he was larger than life.
But Rescuers Down Under, to me, made Rescuers better. As much as I love Rescuers.
I love the Rescuers.
It made it so much more fun to know that there was more to it.
And more adventures for them to do. Oh, yeah.
And I wish they'd do another Rescuers. Because we still have Bob Newhart.
We don't have Ava Gabor anymore.
No, but we do have her sister still, Zaza, I believe, don't we?
And I don't know.
They got the same type of voice. Yeah, you know, so anyway, back to Robin Hood.
But of course, we were just kind of delighting of the Disney animation. But one thing that, speaking of like going to theaters and stuff, it's one of the things I just want to share. One quick thing that I don't think I realized after my mother has passed.
Yes.
Just how much of a Disney fan she must have been.
Yes, yes.
Because, I mean, really, and you had that whole bag that they left it with you and not thinking to leave it with me. And I'm glad you brought that to me.
Yes.
While she was working at Walmart, she was collecting all these plush Disney figures. Yes. Disney, it's not figures, but all these Disney dolls. Stuff like when Flight of the Navigator came out, we went like two or three times in the theater. Anything like a Disney thing, I didn't realize we went to when we could afford to.
Yeah.
I grew up poor. I mean, poorer than dirt sometimes.
We didn't have much either,
so we didn't get to go to the theaters and stuff, but when we could, we went to see Fly the Navigator, like a Disney movie. Mom loved going to Disney movies. And even when we went to the Antioch Mall to go see, you know, well, me and my brother and sister and some family friends of ours, we went to go see Spaceballs. My mom wanted to see Snow White in the theater.
I remember.
And she's also excited when 101 Dalmatians one time was released in theaters. Yeah. 101 Dalmatians. Mom wanted to make sure we went. But mom was a huge Disney fan.
Because it was classic and it was family friendly no matter what.
But I realized she kind of grew up in that generation where Walt would have been on TV probably.
Yes, absolutely.
She was a little girl, you know, seeing that before Walt died.
It was like family.
Yeah. So
that was the thing.
It was like different generation.
The thing we take for granted was the Andy Griffith show.
I feel like I've inherited that from mom now.
Yes.
I just wish mom was around to see how much although it's very different now, but for the time when I was.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Disney nut that I used to be.
I from my father. My father grew up watching Walt. When they first got their TV, Casper came on, Mickey Mouse Club came on, all that. We grew up, I inherit all that sentimentality.
Yeah.
My father said that Walt was like famous. So when he died, he cried. You know,
he
said that it was like John Wayne was like an uncle. And he said that kind of stuff with Elvis was like a cousin. Or he said, you know, it was like, you know, an honor cousin.
Yeah.
You know, he said it's like. That's why I feel whenever Don Knotts passed away, I felt like family had passed, and I got to meet him.
So these people end up meaning so much to us when we grow up them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like I know Hulk. You know,
yeah. Even though they wouldn't know us from a hole in the wall, it's still we grew up with them.
But
and
I was
telling
him how much if I ever get to meet him, I told the one who played
Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. I told Lou Ferrigno just how much he meant to me when I met him, and I told different ones. You know, Jeannie. I told her. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Yeah, and Barbara Eden. I got to dance and talk
to her
and I said, you have phrased me. I said, when I was a little boy, I was still watching your shows.
I told her she's still beautiful, and she is.
I just saw a thing. I think she was, well, no, she didn't have a birthday, but she's going to be at a convention. She's 97 years old now.
I want to meet her again. I love her, man.
She was so sweet.
She is beautiful.
But we really need to wrap this up because we went off on a different tangent, but it was a good direction to go because I feel like I got a chance to demonstrate how much I still love some classic Disney and what they have meant, and that I'm not totally anti-Disney.
No.
I just don't like what they're doing.
We don't like the attitudes that they
have. Yeah, I don't like the modern company, but we love Robin. The legacy of what they've done, and Robin Hood is part of that wonderful, wonderful legacy.
Amen.
50 years. Dadgummit, dude, we got to watch it.
I'm in the mood.
But let's wrap this thing up, but I don't have my notes, so I'm going to turn it over back to me, back in the studio. Hey, friends, do not forget that we are now sponsored by Dubby. Dubby, you get some powdered energy drinks. I mean, of course, you're not going to drink the powder. You're going to mix it with whatever. But go to dubby.gg using the discount code Neverland. In fact, if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, you can find links right there on the page to get your discount and try Dubby today. They promise energy with no jitters. They come in lots of flavors. You can get even fun little drink bottles and lots of different mixes. Go and try it out today. And of course, you will find links there for My Podcast Reviews, a great website, a great account that won't cost you too much either. And you can get all of your reviews from around the world sent to your email. All right. But as we get to the end of the show, we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. Don't forget, you can send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, NeverlandPcast. I might try to change that in the future. As I did mention, I'm kind of leaning towards the fandom Nexus as a major title, just to see if we get more people to find us. And I have already made some changes in Apple, and you might have noticed that today. But we are still on Facebook at Neverland Podcast. We, of course, have a group and a fan page. Don't forget, you can join the Neverlanders by going to our website and choosing yourself a nickname. We have Lost Boys and Pixies. Why don't we have Lost Girls? Because girls are too clever. They don't get lost. And, of course, find links there for our Patreon. We definitely need that Patreon support to be able to keep this show going. So if you like what you hear, make sure you share it with others. And, you know, you got it for free. But helping me out really does help me out a lot by going through Patreon or supporting our sponsors. But now, as we say at the end of every episode, get lost in an adventure, and we'll see you next time. Actually, very soon, because I will be recording all the news and the trailers that happened last week and releasing it hopefully by Wednesday.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.